Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on role of human rights for a vibrant democracy. The participants are Bharat Lal, Secretary General and CEO, National Human Rights Commission, and Rajiv Jain, former member, National Human Rights Commission. Moderator is Arjun J. Chaudhary.
I'm joined by Bharat Lal, Secretary General of the National Human Rights Commission, and Sri Rajiv Jain, former member of the National Human Rights Commission. And today's topic of discussion is on the role of human rights for a vibrant democracy. A warm welcome once again to our two guests, Bharat Lal Ji and Rajiv Jain. Bharat Lal Ji, let's begin by understanding the significance of the Human Rights Day.
First and foremost, I thank Rajiv Jain Saab. He has been a pillar and whole life he has been working for strengthening of human rights, and he is here. Today, as we all heard, the whole nation heard, that dignity of each and every human being is very important. And B, that as per United Nations this year theme, that human right is everyday essential. It means it has to be daily, every hour, every moment, it has to be experienced, it has to be lived, not only in cities or town, but even remote hamlets, remote in tribal areas, in border areas. So Honorable President of India very clearly mentioned that how important it is human right for all of us, and be more important that how we all can come together and ensure that we protect and promote human right. Human right protection is not only the job of the government or National Human Rights Commission, but each and every citizen has to contribute. Each and every organization has to contribute.
Let's now hear what President Draupadi Murmu had to say on Human Rights Day and the role of human rights for a vibrant democracy.
Today, I call upon every citizen to recognize that human rights are not the sole responsibility of governments. The NHRC, civil society organization and such other institutions. Protecting the rights and dignity of our fellow citizens is a shared duty. This duty rests with all of us as members of a compassionate and responsible society.
Bharat Lal Ji, one gets the impression that along with the social consideration of enjoying human rights, it has to be coupled with economic benefits as well, so that the standard of living of each and every individual in this country is at the highest possible level. Are there any particular human rights that you would like to focus upon? Are there any specific human rights that you would like to emphasize upon?
Well, as we all know that when it comes to civil and political rights, as we have seen that our founding fathers of this republic, our constitution makers, you know, they ensured that they are fundamental rights. So the first part is, so far as the civil and political rights is concerned, they are fundamental right. And B, judiciary is custodian of the right. The second part is that socioeconomic and cultural right. Of course, our founding fathers of this republic, they always envisaged that, yes, people will have improved quality of life. Until their life doesn't improve, there is no meaning of human right. And not only basic amenities, but public services, but more importantly, improving their income, their livelihood, providing them opportunity. That is the hallmark of the new governance. So far as the National Human Rights Commission is concerned, of course, we continue to work on civil and political rights. We continue to on all these socioeconomic and cultural rights. But most important is that all those who are basically small groups, most vulnerable, marginalized section of society, take transgender, take people involved in begging, people suffering with mental health. And these are the focus areas. And more importantly, that each and everybody should be treated with dignity. So as you see that Honorable President in her speech covered this, in that recently government has issued new labor code actually. What is all about? That people who are workers, who are backbone of manufacturing and services, their human right, their workers' right, their working conditions are regulated. They have social security, they have, a health security. And this is the area where government is working. But certainly, you need a kind of income everybody should have where basically people can enjoy their life. And in this spirit, in this context, basically, providing essential services public services becomes very important. So basically, you are enabling people so that they are able to realize their full potential. They are able to devote more time for work, for their occupation, for reskilling, for training. So they are able to basically enhance their income. National Human Rights Commission is certainly its focus that a quality of life should improve. People's income, livelihood, they should improve. And above all, nobody should feel discriminated or nobody is deprived of various facilities and services which government provides.
Bharat Lal ji, tell us about the National Human Rights Commission. How does one approach the NHRC if they have a grievance, there's an infringement of their fundamental right, their privileges?
So as per Protection of Human Rights Act 1993, the National Human Rights Commission is a kind of apex level institution, basically, which is a chairperson and five members are there. The approach of the National Human Rights Commission is that be very liberal, that anybody, any person from anywhere in the country, in any language, if he or she feels that their right has been violated, is able to file complaint. And not only the person for himself or herself, more importantly, for a third person also, you can file a complaint. So in this respect, National Human Rights Commission is basically encouraging people that if your human right is violated, you file a complaint. This is the first thing. You can go by email, by letter, by postcard. But more importantly, an online system has also been developed, which is basically operational 24/7. You can file it in any language from anywhere. Second thing is that once complaint is filed, you don't need a lawyer, actually. You don't need not to come to Delhi. It is the National Human Rights Commission which will take up it, resolve it, to look into it, to get it investigation and pass suitable orders and make certain recommendations, you know. Third part is that National Human Rights Commission acknowledges that there are people basically who are living in remote areas, different parts of country, different states. So the commission continued to keep on visiting these states actually. And there they organizes what you call open hearing basically, camp sitting and open hearing, where each and every person is encouraged. In fact, advertised in newspapers that people can file complaint, actually fresh complaint also. So that is that. The National Human Rights Commission also have special reporters and special monitors. Special reporters are allotted certain states or union territories, and special monitors are subject matter specialists, like transgender matter, like prison inmates, you know, various kind of subjects, you know. So they keep on basically, they are eyes and ear of the commission. They keep on visiting different states. They are also assigned certain inquiries into to look into the matter. So this is the way where National Human Rights Commission encourages people to file their complaint, and we'll be happy, not only this, that whenever anything comes in social media, in electronic media or in newspaper, that any case or any matter which comes where basically some violation has taken place, commission soon will take cognizance of this matter. And after taking cognizance, basically it is publicized in local newspaper and media so that authorities, you know, they should not repeat this kind of, you know, this kind of violations actually. So National Human Rights Commission is very proactively engages with people basically to encourage them to file the complaint. The second dimension of this thing, that if we notice that in certain areas or over the time, over the months or decades, certain kind of violations are taking place, commission proactively basically issues advisories. In fact, last couple of years, basically 13 advisories have been issued. In fact, during COVID also, you know, a number of advisories were issued. So proactively advisories issued is a kind of preventive step that authorities must take certain steps so that people's rights are not violated. These are the few things in addition to outreach, basically, in case of internship program, education program, training program, you know, all those things are done. More importantly, we encourage and we give protection to human rights defenders also to file complaint on behalf of third person. So human rights defenders and NGOs are partner so right. far as the filing of the complaints are concerned and addressal of their human rights violations are concerned.
Thank you so much, Bharat Lal ji, Secretary General of the National Human Rights Commission, for giving us such an in-depth view of how the NHRC functions within society. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me here. Thank you.
Let's now take our discussion to Rajiv Jain ji, the former member of the National Human Rights Commission, and he's also a serving advocate, which gives another angle, another view to human rights, because the protection of human rights typically lies with the courts. Rajiv Jain ji, how do you see the NHRC playing a supplemental and sometimes a role that is facilitating the human rights in India?
I must emphasize that it is the government which is the primary custodian of human rights. In fact, it is the parliament which It is the Constituent Assembly which passed the Constitution, which embodies the fundamental rights, which codifies what the Universal Declaration of Human Rights said. So it was the Constituent Assembly. Subsequently, the Parliament has framed several legislations in pursuance of that. So the Parliament has played a role in protecting and promoting human rights. The government too. For instance, providing right to food, providing free food to 800 million people for over 3 years, the government has done that. The government has schemes for providing houses to people, and right to shelter has been interpreted under Article 21 by the Supreme Court. A large portion of the area is covered by Parliament and the executive. When the judiciary comes in, the judiciary provides a remedy and protects the human rights in consonance with the Constitution and the extant laws. The National Human Rights Commission is the apex body, as my colleague Bharat Lal mentioned, to which anyone can complain about negligence of the state or the state itself being a party in violation of human rights. And the National Human Rights Commission entertains that complaints, inquires into the matter, seeks report from the concerned stakeholders, takes a view on that, and then subsequently issues its recommendations to the concerned state body. And over the past several years, since its inception, we have issued recommendations for providing compensation of over rupees 300 crore to different victims in several thousands of cases.
Rajiv Jainji, the topic also covers the importance of a vibrant democracy and how human rights are so important to ensure the democracy is vibrant. And typically, any constitution or the Universal Declaration of Human Rights talks about the freedom of speech and expression, free media, assembly, and access to information, which is covered under the Right to Information Act. How do you see this being upheld?
So Puttaswamy judgment, for instance, was a landmark because it's read right to privacy under Article 21. It says it is a fundamental right. Earlier judgments had, in some marginal way, also mentioned to that effect, but Puttaswamy judgment clinched the issue. So there have been several judgments in which these new genre of rights have also been incorporated, right to information or right to privacy, etc. But at the same time, jurisprudence has to factor in that there may be contesting rights. So, for instance, right to information and right to privacy are contesting rights. But among all the fundamental rights, the primacy has to be given to right to life. The right to life is the most primary because once that is violated, there is no going back. You can't bring a person back to life if his life is taken away. Consequently, when there's a tussle between right to life and right to free speech, the right to life takes precedence. So, if the government feels that right to free speech and incendiary speeches on social media is creating unrest and is resulting in violence, resulting in deaths of people, so government to a certain extent curbs that freedom of speech for a limited time, in a limited space, in a limited geographical area, in order to protect the right to life.
So when we talk about rights, there's also the corresponding duty, which sometimes individuals forget, and it's a responsibility of the courts to remind not only the individual but the state that along with the right, there is also the corresponding duty. Do tell us about accountability here.
Okay. What is writ jurisdiction? So when the Constitution enumerates the fundamental rights, it also enumerates the procedure through which their violation can be dealt with. So Article 226 was incorporated whereunder any person whose fundamental right is violated, any of the fundamental rights, can directly approach any of the high courts without going through the subordinate judiciary. And that high court would then call into question the concerned state organ whereunder the right was violated. Also, Article 32 was incorporated in the Constitution, whereunder anyone whose fundamental right has been violated can directly approach the Supreme Court for a remedy. The remedy could be a direction to the government. It could be different kinds of directions. So there are different kinds of ways in which the court ensures that the fundamental rights of the individual are guaranteed by enforcement of the writ jurisdiction.
And of course, this is an equally important remedy along with what the NHRC is always espousing. So it's quite a in-depth discussion that we have had so far. Rajiv Jainji, a former member of the National Human Rights Commission, thank you so much for being with us on Akashvani and explaining to our listeners in-depth what the context of today, the National Human Rights Day, is all about. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on role of human rights for a vibrant democracy. The participants were Bharat Lal, Secretary General and CEO, National Human Rights Commission, and Rajiv Jain, former member, National Human Rights Commission. Moderator was Arjun J. Chaudhary.
Spotlight.